Can you relate to any of the characters in the drama this morning? I mean, we had the giver who rationalizes why they don't need to give to God. We had the arrogant, prideful, vain person in terms of their giving back to God. We had the paranoid, neurotic, freaking out person about their giving back to God. And then we had the humble person who just wanted to give a love offering back to God, but conveniently forgot their wallet. Which one can you best relate to this morning? You know, we're in week 3 of our 4-part series entitled Money Matters. First week, we talked about how God desires for us to not be in bondage to debt. Second week, last week, we talked about the issue of stewardship, about how God calls us to be stewards over our resources that he's entrusted to us. And now today, we're going to talk about one aspect of being a good steward, and that is the practice of tithing. Now, last night, Sherry and I actually went to go and see a comedian, and it was part of his routine was before he did this ring trick, he said, and I want you all to say with me, oh no, not the ring trick, okay? And I thought, what a good way today to kind of break into this message on tithing by all of us participating like that. So what I want you to do is echo what you're really feeling right now, and right now what I want you to say is, oh no, not a tithing message, okay? On three, nice and loud, we're going to do that. 1, 2, 3.
Oh no, not a tithing.
Now, how come when I say good morning in the morning, you guys are quiet? But when I do that, you guys are nice and loud. Okay. Before we dive in, though, this morning, I want to tell you, if you've missed any of the messages in this series, I want to ask you as your pastor to make a commitment to go and listen to them online, download them off of our website. If you can't do that, I'll get you a copy burned. Because here's why. The series is designed to hit on a wide range of financial topics, not just giving. We care more about finances in terms of how they impact your life than just what you can give. Each message is kind of designed to build off another one. For example, if you missed last week's message on stewardship, the message today on tithing will make much less sense to you. And if likewise, today's message isn't meant to pull at your heartstrings. It's meant to be a deep biblical dive into looking at the biblical picture of tithing. And so next week, we're going to get back to the heart of the matter, cap the series by talking about this issue of finances and how they compete for our affection. So please, I'm asking you, would you please make a commitment to go and listen to those messages if you haven't done that already? Because without them, you're going to miss points in the series that we really think are important for you to hear. You know, I read a story this week. There's a man who had called the church, and he was talking to the secretary, and he said, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. The secretary said, excuse me? And the guy said, ma'am, I said, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. And she said, sir, if you're referring to our pastor, you're going to have to speak about him with more respect than that. Either refer to him as the reverend or pastor, but you most certainly will not refer to our pastor as the head hog at the trough. And he said, oh, I see. Well, I had a $10,000 check that I was debating about giving to the building fund. And she said, hold the line. I see the big pig coming right now. I share that for a reason, as always. I need to share with you on the front end here my struggle internally in preaching on a tough topic like this. First off, I realize that there are people in here today who've been at churches in the past where you felt like that guy in the joke may have felt. Like, you know what? The church cares more about my money than they do about me as a person. And so for you, I know that the defenses are on high alert right now. But then on the flip side, you've got to understand, I'm a guy who just 10 short years ago, prior to giving my life to Jesus, was consumed by money. I was anxious about it. I was always worried about it. I couldn't have enough of it. I spent it on whatever I pleased, caused a ton of disagreements between my fiance, who would eventually become my wife, and I. Bottom line was, I really didn't even realize it, but money was my master. And so I get pretty fired up because since that time, since I released my life to Christ and we released our finances to God, the freedom, the peace that God has provided me as a follower of his has been beyond what I could ever have dreamed of. And I want to tell you that it has made a major difference in my walk with God as I've learned to trust him to provide, not myself. But it didn't happen until we turned our finances over to God and began giving faithfully. I'm just telling you. So that fires me up at the prospect of being able to talk about this today, because I want people in here today to find that same freedom. Because there is freedom to be found. So that's my internal struggle today. On one hand, I know people are sensitive to the topic, but on the other hand, the Word of God is very clear on it, and I've experienced what God promises in terms of when we release our finances to Him. So I don't, like we always say this at Crossroads, we're not going to duck tough topics. So we're not going to duck this one today. We're going to try to handle it from a biblical standpoint and really look at what the biblical picture is of tithing. In reality, friends, I want to throw out something for you to think about. Our giving should never be something that we're embarrassed about or proud over. Think about that. If you're being obedient to God, our giving should never be something we're embarrassed about. But it never should be something we're proud over either, because we're simply being obedient to our Father in heaven. So today, I want to tackle this sensitive subject today, and I want to dive in. I want this to be an open time for us to be able to look at God's word when it comes to the issue of tithing. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the background for tithing. We're going to look at the definition of it. We're going to look at the origination of it, and we're going to look at the usage of the tithe. And then what we're going to do after that is we're going to talk about why tithing is a significant act in our lives. So let's start. You have an outline today. We're going to start with the background for tithing by defining what a tithe is. The Hebrew noun, which translates to the word tithe, is mahasharah. And what it means literally is a tenth part, or the payment of a tenth part. And so tithing is the practice of giving the first 10% of your income back to the Lord. That's what tithing is defined as. Now, in terms of where it started, where was the origination for tithing? Where did it come from? Well, before the Old Testament law was given, before God handed the law to his people of what he expected of them, there's two known instances in the Bible of giving with a specific amount, 10% in mind. They're in Genesis chapter 14 and Genesis 28. Not going to go through them today. They're in your outline, though. You can look at them on your own if you'd like to. But the tithe first became an expectation from God when he entered into covenant agreement with his people. And what part of the covenant that God entered into with his people was that they would be his people and he would be their God. And what he expected of them was two major things. He expected obedience and he expected their worship. Those were the two things. Now, the Old Testament is complete with God talking about various things in terms of what it looks like to obey God. One of those areas was in the area of their tithes and offerings, giving back to him. And we see that expectation recorded in Leviticus chapter 27, 30. As Moses, at this point, Moses is at Mount Sinai, and he's meeting with God, and God commands Moses, go tell the Israelites that the tithes are to be sacred unto the Lord. And he says this, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So it didn't matter what the Israelites earned, whether it was grain, fruit, whatever, the first 10% of that went back to God. Now that begs the question, what did they do with it? What happened? What was it used for? Well, first off, the family of priests that were called the Levites came from the family of Levi, and the priests lived off a portion of the tithes and the offerings. And we see that recorded in Numbers chapter 18, verse 20 through 21, where we read this. The Lord said to Aaron, you'll have no inheritance, underline that, you'll have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. So you got to understand, Aaron was the first high priest of God in Israel. Aaron was from the family of Levi, so he was a Levite. That's the reference to Levites in that passage. The priests were from the family of Levi. They were Levitical priests. And what we see is that the priests were not allowed to have a share in the land. They couldn't own the land, so what happened was they were left with no means to support themselves. They weren't allowed to have a share, but so what God did was he expected that the Levites lived off a portion of the tithes and offerings from the people. And that allowed those priests to dedicate their full-time service to the people in honoring God, leading people in their worship of God. That's the first way in which the tithe was used. Second way in which it was used, though, was to also to help strangers or widows or orphans. Listen to that. That's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28 and 29. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So, friends, the tithe was used to help disadvantaged people, and it was also used to help support the priests in their ministry. Now, that's the Old Testament. Now, what about the New Testament? Do we see anything in terms of how the tithe was used there? Listen, Paul echoes these sentiments in terms of how offerings were used in the New Testament church. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. I know we're whipping through this pretty good, but stay with me. I think you'll find this interesting. He says, "Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? And those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." See, Paul continues that line of thinking, saying that the offerings were to be used to support the people that were doing the work of the gospel in these New Testament churches. So that's kind of the usage of the tithe. But before we go to the significance of tithing, what I want to do is I want to address a question that some of you might have, some people in general, you may have heard it even if you don't have it yourself. Some people argue that, yeah, okay, no doubt about it, Jeff, tithing was an Old Testament requirement. Absolutely, but you know what? We're not governed by the law anymore, so therefore tithing's obsolete and it's not something that I need to practice. I would just tell you that that's for scriptural evidence for that point is very weak. Listen to this. It's fair to say that tithing is not explicitly taught in the New Testament, but it is never rejected in the New Testament. And what I would tell you is that it is implicitly taught in the New Testament. Listen to Jesus' own words. I think you'll find this pretty interesting. There are scriptures that would seem to indicate that God fully intended the tithe to be something that continued. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 23, 23. Jesus at this point is addressing the Pharisees. He's addressing legalism and you know, these Pharisees that just wanted to attend to every matter of the law but lived a hypocritical life. Here's what he says. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Without neglecting the former. See, in this passage, Jesus acknowledges that these Pharisees, they were tithing. They were given 10% of these valuable spices back to God. But he says, you know what you're not doing? You're not living a life that models justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And he says, you should not neglect the latter. You should continue to practice. You should be practicing justice, mercy, and faithfulness, but you should do that without neglecting the former, without neglecting your tithing. See, he told them that he didn't tell them to stop tithing. He told them, start living a life that in addition to your tithe, you practice justice, mercy, and faithfulness in your life. Friends, if tithing was an Old Testament practice only, you'd have to admit this would make Jesus' words very curious at best here. Very curious at best. Some people also argue, well, Jeff, you know, we're under the covenant of grace, and we're not adherent to the law anymore. Friends, we are absolutely under the covenant of grace. There's nothing you or I could do to earn God's favor, earn God's salvation. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus. We are under the covenant of grace, but I want to ask you, when do we get the impression that grace reduces the requirements of anything? When does it reduce? I mean, in the Old Testament system, the way forgiveness of sins was sought was through sacrificing an animal. The blood of an animal paid for the sins of people. In the covenant of grace, God sent Jesus as the ultimate offering to pay for our sins by him shedding his blood on the cross. See, friends, grace is not cheap. Grace was incredibly more costly to God. So why would we think that it requires less of us? you want to work through the scripturally, I'd love to talk more about it. We're not going to go into this in depth, but just jot down Matthew chapter 5. Jot down Matthew chapter 5, because in Matthew chapter 5, there we go. Let's go. Comic relief. In Matthew chapter 5, what Jesus does is in the Sermon on the Mount, he covers a number of issues in chapter 5 where he starts with a phrase that goes something like this. He says, "You've heard it was said this." And when he does that, what he's speaking to is he's speaking to the Old Testament law. He's referring to what people would have known as the Old Testament law. And then in each case, he says something to the extent, "But I tell you this." And so what he's doing there is as you work through that, as he works through various issues like murder, adultery, divorce, etc., I think what you'll see is if you look those up, you'll at least get this picture that Jesus didn't come to lower the expectation in terms of God's Old Testament laws. If anything, the covenant of grace, the new covenant of grace, raised the expectations. Take a look at that. Jesus said, "You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. I tell you, if you look at a woman lustfully with your eyes, you've committed adultery with her in your heart." That seems like a higher standard, not a lower one, doesn't it? Take a look at that this week. Bottom line, we could go on, but I would just say this. The evidence scripturally that Old Testament is the only time that a tithe was required, I would just tell you, in my opinion, is pretty weak at best. It's an important thing for us to at least acknowledge, talk about, as we now move on to the significance of tithing. Why does it matter in our lives? What's the big deal? The first aspect of tithing that makes it a significant act in our lives is that it's an offering of our first fruits. It's an offering of our first fruits. Proverbs 3:9 says this regarding tithing. "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops." See, understand, the concept of first fruits is important for us if we're going to understand this idea that tithing is more than just about your money. It's about you and I making an offering to God. It's about you and I making an offering to God. The term first fruits refers to the beginning, the first, the chief, or the best. And that takes us back to last week's message on stewardship. To understand your tithe as an offering of your first 10% back to God, honestly, it requires you to understand that we're not owners of any of our resources. That God's the true owner. He just entrusts them to us to manage. And therefore, giving back to God via his church is meant to represent you coming with an offering of your first fruits back to God. It's a willing offering that you make. It's not something you do out of reluctance. It's not something you do out of guilt, as today, as Tracy put her shoes in the offering plate. It's something you do out of love for God as you offer back to him. And the idea that's present when we offer God our first fruits, by default, we no longer make him wait for our leftovers. We no longer make him wait after we've spent on our taxes and our 401k and our pension and our homes and our upgrade of our homes and our luxury items and our vacations, and then God gets what's left over. That's not the idea of first fruits. You know, I'm always struck when you look in the book of Leviticus. When you read in Leviticus, what you'll see is I always find it amazing. If you read the beginning of Leviticus, the type of offering that God required was so specific. Read Leviticus 3, verse 1 with me. This is in discussing the fellowship offering that people would offer to God. "If someone's offering is a fellowship offering, and he offers an animal from the herd, whether male or female, he's to present before the Lord an animal without defect." Now, if you read through the first 7 chapters of Leviticus, what you'll find is, I'd love for you to do that on your own. Read through it and highlight how many times that phrase is attached to any offering, whatever you're talking about, without defect. See, when they brought their offerings to God, they weren't allowed to go grab that lamb, that dying, frail lamb that's on 3 legs and can barely stand up and go, and it's skinny and it ain't worth anything. "Here, God, take this lamb." They were required to go and get their best, the one without defect, and offer God their best, offer God their first fruits. It was a sacrifice that cost them something. That's the idea of an offering in the Old Testament. You know, think about it this way. Let's say Let's say you want to do something nice for me and you go, you know what, I'm going to get Jeff a box of steaks for this summer so he and his wife can enjoy some wonderful steaks out on the grill this summer. Great stuff. And you know what, you're a friend of mine. So I just say, hey, why don't you come on over after you've given me this, and why don't you come on over and enjoy a steak with us? So one night, you come over this summer. It's a beautiful night. We're sitting out on the deck. It's 75 degrees. We're having great fellowship. I'm cooking three mouth-watering steaks, one for me, one for you, and one for my wife, you think. And so we're sitting there, and after those steaks finish up on the grill, I take one. I plop one down on my wife's plate. I plop one down on my plate, and I take that third one, and I plop it down on my plate. Now, right now, you're a little confused. You're wondering what's going on, what's he doing, oh boy. And then your confusion turns a little bit frustration when I go into the kitchen and I go into the refrigerator and I grab out a shriveled, hard as a rock, cold steak that we cooked up 5 days earlier, and I come out, put it on your plate, say, let's bow our heads and pray, and I look up and say, enjoy. I think most of you would probably be pretty frustrated with me. But honestly, even more than frustration, I would argue you would be hurt. Because I didn't value you enough to offer you a portion of the blessing you had given me. Friends, it's the same way with God. How does God feel when he blesses us with all the resources that we have and we bring him our stale leftovers? Whatever we've got left after we spent on whatever we need or want to spend on. Friends, God expects, he deserves the offering of our first fruits, not the disposal of our leftovers. That's the first aspect that makes tithing a significant act in our life. It's that it's an offering, friends, of our first fruits. It's a willing offering. Second aspect of it that makes it significant is that it's an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience. You know, in the book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi writes to God's people and he addresses areas that they've drifted into sin. And one of the areas that he addresses is in the tithes and offerings. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 9 records God's response to his people withholding their offerings from him. This is Malachi quoting God. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees, and you have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Friends, God in this passage equated the Israelites' failure to bring the tithes and offerings to God as robbery of him. It was an act of disobedience on their part. Friends, bringing our tithes, bringing our offerings back to God, our first 10%, still remains an act of obedience on our part. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. See, our level of obedience speaks loudly in our lives. You know, I heard an illustration this week. This was a true story. A pastor by the name of Leighton Farrell, he's a minister of Highland Park Church in Dallas. And he tells a story of a guy in his church who was, years earlier, had a pastor friend, not him, but he had a pastor friend that he had entered into a covenant with as two brothers in Christ and said, you know what, we're going to tithe. We're going to make a commitment for our lives to tithe 10%, give our first 10% back to God. And they were both, you know, okay with that. They made that commitment. The person went out and started making, I think he made $10,000 the first year. And he was faithful. He tithed $1,000. When his earnings rose to $100,000, he tithed $10,000. And when he was blessed to have him rise to $1 million, he tithed the $100,000 back to God. But the year that his earnings, he was blessed enough for them to reach $6 million, he freaked out. He said, there is no way that I'm going to tithe $600,000 back to God. And so he telephoned his minister friend, his buddy, and said, you know what, I need to talk to you. And he had long since moved on to another church, and so he went and talked to his friend. And he said, man, You got to let me out of this covenant that we made. It was one thing for me to tithe $1,000 to God, but it's a whole different ballgame for me to tithe $600,000 back to him. You got to do something about this, pastor. And his pastor friend knelt on the floor and started praying. And eventually the man said, you know, what are you doing? Are you asking, are you praying that God would let me out of my covenant to tithe? And he said, no, I'm not. I'm praying that God will reduce your income to the level where a $1,000 tithe is an affordable thing for you again. See, the reality is, obedience in this area has nothing to do with what we make, friends. I think some people think, I have to give what this other person... No, you don't. Don't make it like that. Don't make it a legalistic thing. In fact, in the case of this man, the more he made, the more he got wrapped up in a luxurious lifestyle, and he found it more difficult to give to God. See, friends, don't make it about that. God just calls us to be faithful with what he's provided. That's it. That's it. That's his expectation. It's not that we compete with other people or try to give out of importance like our drama character did today. God just asks us to be obedient with what we have. Now, the third and fourth aspect of tithing that makes it significant in our lives is that it's an expression of our faith. It's an expression of our faith, and I'll give you the other one right away. It's something God promises to bless. It's something God promises to bless. Now, that first part of Malachi, if you're with me, if you're still with me, that's a hard part, that's a hard passage. It's always a hard passage for anybody to hear. But I want you to focus in. If you have zoned out on me right now, please zone back in. Because this is a beautiful promise from our God, our grace-filled, loving God. Listen to this, Malachi 10, or chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Did you catch that? Test me in this, God says. He gives us permission to test us in this area. That's significant. Remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan? And what did Satan want Jesus to do? He wanted to prove himself. And Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. But yet here, God gives us permission to test him in this area. God's essentially saying here, hey, you know what? I'm giving you permission. Test and just see if I won't open the floodgates of blessing for you when you put your faith in me to provide instead of in yourself to provide. See, God wants us to step out in faith and trust him. Place our faith in him. Friends, tithing is not primarily about the church. That's the stereotype that's out there. Look, you guys are smart people. If people don't give, our church doesn't make it. That's reality. Everybody knows that. But we don't sit up here and tell you that you've got to give because of the church. Tithing's an issue between you and God. It is first and foremost an issue in your relationship with Jesus, period. Who do you place your trust in your finances or in your God? And that's why it's such a powerful test of where our hearts are at. It's a tried and true test because it forces us to say, where do we place our faith? Think of it this way. You know, how many of you remember Clint Eastwood's famous line, go ahead, make my day? Raise your hand if you've ever heard him say that in a movie. Okay, so you all have said it. Think of it like that. God's almost telling us in this passage. He's almost saying to us, look, trust me financially. Give back to me your first fruits. Test me in this. Go ahead, guys. Make my day. Go ahead and just see if I don't bless that. Now, can anyone tell you, hear me on this, can anyone tell you what kind of blessings that might be? No. Anyone who tries to tell you that, I would tell you is wrong. Can anyone tell you that it will always be material or financial? Absolutely not. We're not a health and wealth gospel church here. Sometimes it is. I mean, I could bring people up here that would swear and would tell you their stories about how God has blessed them that way since they've tithed, but I want to tell you, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that. It might be a just deeper intimacy with God, which would be beyond value, wouldn't it? Amen? But tithing is an expression of our faith in God. And we can stand on the promise of God's word that he does promise to bless. He does promise to bless that. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who is a faithful tither, and we were just talking one day, this was a while back, and he was saying, you just never know how God blesses you because you're faithful with finances. And he goes, you know, who knows, maybe my vehicle lasts longer without repairs. Who knows, maybe I wouldn't have got that promotion at work had I not been faithful. Or who knows, maybe I wouldn't feel close with my God right now had I not been faithful financially. Who knows? But he summed up our discussion, and I think he sums up these last two points of the significance of tithing perfectly. He said, you know, Jeff, some people say that they can't afford to tithe, but I look at it like this. I can't not afford to tithe. And what he meant by that is this. He doesn't want to take the chance of removing him and his wife from the potential blessings that God has provided for them by grabbing back control of that money in his life. Instead, he wants to continue to have him and his wife place their faith in God to provide as opposed to themselves. You know, I began today by telling you that today's message won't be something that tugs at your heart. I don't have a cute or funny or just deep heartfelt illustration right now that'll just get you emotionally charged up. Because today was strictly meant to be a chance for you to see the biblical basis for a tithe. You'll notice the offering was done today before the drama, unusual for us, before the message. That was intentional. Friends, we don't want to do anything that manipulates you to give here. That stuff's garbage. We don't want you giving for those reasons. We don't want that to be the case. Today, we dove into the Bible on tithing. Next week, we're going to put a cap on this series and talk about the heart of the issue. But I do want to leave you with some application points today. Some points for you to consider, because the fact is people in here today are in wide-ranging spots when it comes to this issue of tithing. First of all, there are seekers in here today. Some of you give, some of you don't. Who cares? Listen, here's what I want to tell you. God cares more about you entering into a relationship with Jesus than he does about your money. Please hear me on that. Please hear me on that. Don't get the order mixed up. God wants you to meet him through his son Jesus, first and foremost. He'll deal with issues after that. That is not the focus right now. So please don't walk out of here today focused on tithing. This message is really for people who have made that commitment in their life. I instead want you to walk out of here focused on where are you at with Jesus? Have you made that commitment? Because that has eternal implications for you. It determines where you'll spend eternity. And friends, that is far more important to me, to this church, and most importantly, it's far more important to God than your money. Please, don't walk out of here focused on that. But for those of you who are born again, you're saved, you're followers of Jesus Christ, those of you who have experienced the freedom that comes from the forgiveness of sins that could only be provided for you and I by the shed blood of Jesus, that's a different story. Wherever you're at with your giving, all I want to do is I want to challenge you. Would you take today's message and apply it? On the back of your outline, there are three simple beginnings to sentences. Everybody, if you could pull your outlines out if you don't have them, back of your outline. There's three sentences that have been started. I would ask you this week, in your time with God, you're not turning this in, you don't get a grade, this isn't with me, just your time with God. Answer these, finish these sentences. I tithe because blank. I will tithe because blank. Or I won't tithe because blank. Now, why finish those sentences? Because here's why. When we started today, we talked about how giving shouldn't be something that you feel proud over, and it shouldn't be something that you're embarrassed over. So what I want you to do is I think these sentences can, in a time with God, in your own time with God, can offer you a chance to just sit down with God and go, is my heart right? Why I even tithe? Do I tithe for the right reasons? Is my heart right with God? I think they can also help you to make a commitment going forward between you and God. If this is something that you feel God's leading you to do, there's just something simple there can be your own commitment between you and God where you say, okay, God, moving forward, we're going to make changes to be able to orient our lives around this. Or honestly, it could be a chance for you just to get honest with God and say, hey, God, here's why I just am not going to do this. Just God knows it already, friends. Just spend some time with him interacting on it. That's okay. It's okay, but deal with some of those issues between God that might be preventing that. For some of you, it might be a combination of sentences because you know that 0 to 10% might seem like a real scary thing, understandably. Maybe what you do is you say, God, you know what? I'm going to make a commitment at a smaller percent. I'm just going to be faithful, Lord, and I'm going to work towards this. Wherever you're at, I'm just asking you, do some digging with God, with nobody else but with God. Because, friends, it is not about the money. It is about the relationship between you and Jesus. That's it. And take it from a guy who's seen both sides. I want to tell you, the freedom you can find when you release that to God is amazing. So I close by saying this to you. I don't want you to tithe. And now you're all confused. I want you to learn to give as an offering the first fruits that God has given to you. I want you to stay away from that emotionally charged word. We've used it today because we don't want to hide. But I want you to start thinking of that tithe as an offering of your best back to God, to a God who gave so much for you by sending Jesus to die on that cross as the ultimate offering. Because friends, the ultimate offering requires us to examine our own offering. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this morning. Father, Lord, I just want to pray right now that you would bind the enemy, that you would bind Satan, prevent him from taking any of this service today and making it something that people are angry about. Lord, I pray that you would do the work you're doing in each one of our hearts because this is a significant issue in our relationship with you. So God, let your word go forth and do what you intend for it to do, Father. But Lord, I pray that you'd bind the enemy from turning it and twisting it. Father God, I pray that you would help people experience freedom in this area of their relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.